Welcome to Reading Through Life. This is a weekly podcast by two best friends who have major dreams of living inside a library.
We fully believe that there's no better company than that towering pile of 73 unread novels that you have sitting on your nightstand.
And if we don't get the quiet time to dive face first into a book each day, we get really stabby.
Each week, you'll find a conversation around books and our very different tastes and styles on what we read. I'm Mia, and I'm more of a classic fantasy type of reader who truly believes that books are precious creatures to cherish.
And I'm Sarah, a rom-com family drama type of reader, and I totally dog-ear my books.
We're so glad you're here today. Let's get into the show.
Hey friends, we're back in your ears with another monthly recap of everything that we read in February.
February was an interesting reading month for us both, to say the least, so I can't wait to dig in. But first, how are you, Sarah?
I'm pretty good. I got no complaints. February is basically over as we're recording this. It was an exceptionally busy month with birthdays and birthday parties and Valentine's Day and just all of the things. So I'm looking forward to March and to our birthdays and to swim season coming to an end and being able to relax a little bit. That's me. How about you?
That sounds lovely. So for me, my mom is in town visiting this week, and there are cabins here at the campground that you can rent, and they're really lovely. And so we rented a golf cart so she wouldn't have to walk. So like every day I go over there and pick her up, and we're like riding around the campground. And it's just funny to me to have to explain like all the campground etiquette and all the rules and stuff to someone who doesn't know it, since this is now my everyday life. Like all the things I take for granted, she's like, that's weird. Or like, what does this mean? Or what are they doing? And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? Oh, wait, yeah, you wouldn't know. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun having her in town and like showing her all the stuff. And she's been having such a great time spending time with the boys. So that's the most important thing.
No, that's good. Is the weather good for her too?
It has been. The first couple of days were chilly. I know, chilly for Florida. Don't say anything, Sarah. But it's been really nice since then.
Yeah, well, good. So what do you have for something bookish today?
So I am just going to say that, and I think this is something that you shared before, but if you are in a bit of a reading rut, or maybe you just don't have a lot of reading mojo lately, like I haven't for the past few months, try a different book format, because I've been listening to a few audiobooks here and there over the past month, and it's really been helping me get back into reading. I think I did like 3 or 4 audiobooks in February, which is a lot for me because I don't normally listen to too many of them. So try a different book format. Maybe that'll help.
I think that's what I need because I'm definitely in a reading rut. Maybe I need to try some more audiobooks. So for me, for something bookish, I just want to talk about a memory, I guess. And that's going to the bookstore with all of my boys. Now that my husband has started reading more often, like he might have actually read more books than me in February because I just could not get into things and he's just nonstop reading. And it is so fun now for all 4 of us to go to the bookstore. And like, usually when we get there, I don't even ask. I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna be over here. You can go hang out with the kids. And then eventually I'll go and I'll hang out with the kids while he goes and looks at books. But it's just so fun that all 4 of us are looking for books that we're enjoying and that we want to read. And I know that once Harrison's actually able to read on his own, I feel like he's really going to even enjoy it even more. So I don't know. It's just really fun. So if you also have a family of readers, I hope that you guys take the time to go to bookstores together too, because it's great.
I saw the stories that you posted on Instagram. Your kids are adorable.
They're pretty good. Yeah.
All right. So in case this is your first ever episode of Reading Through Life, first, hi, how are you? And second, in these recap episodes, we share 5 books that we read in the month. And then everything else we read goes into our overflow episode that we share with patrons that's coming out on Friday. It's the same format as this main show, but we don't have any time constraints over there because we like to keep these episodes on the main show kind of short.
And if you aren't already a patron and want to hear about the rest of the books that we read in February, join us through the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/readingthroughlifepod.
Okay, let's dig into February. How many books did you read and how many of those did you give 5 stars?
I only read 9 books and I only had 1 5-star book unless we are counting a book that I reread. In that case, it would be 2 books that were 5 stars.
All right. So I also read 9 books and then I only had 1 5-star book.
Yeah, we can tell this was not a great month for us. So tell us about reading in February. How did it go? Did you notice any themes? Did it feel like a good month? I'm going to guess that answer is no.
So February was partly about cleaning out a few physical books that I have, because obviously I don't have a lot of space here in the RV. So anything I can do to whittle down my book collection is helpful. But it was also just me being really chaotic and reading a little bit of everything because I, like I said, I was in a rut and nothing was really grabbing my attention for very long. And so I feel like I have a little bit of my reading mojo back, which is very nice. How about you?
It was a rough month of reading for me. January was so good, and I think that I expected more of that, more of the same for this month, but I must have like pissed off the reading gods with my bravado because nothing worked all that well for me this month, which is evident by the number of books that I finished. Like in January, I think I finished like 16 books, and this month I only had 9. So by the end of the month, I was just like throwing spaghetti at the wall in the desperate hope that something would work for me. And as you will hear in my recap, I just had a lot of meh books. I don't know if it's the books or if it was me, but it was just, I hope that March is not the same. Let's just say that.
All right, so let's get into these recaps. I will go first with my first book. And so the first one is Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. It is a classic book. It's gothic fiction. It's 449 pages, and I gave this one 4 stars. It's about ancient, beautiful Manderley between the rose garden and the sea, and it's the county showpiece. Rebecca made it so, and even a year after her death, her influence still rules there, and people still remark on her incredible beauty. And how can Maxim de Winter's shy new bride ever fill Rebecca's place or escape her vital shadow? A shadow that grows longer and darker as the brief summer fades, until, in a moment of climactic revelations, it threatens to eclipse Manderley and its inhabitants completely. So I finally read it, you guys. I've been talking about this book for I don't even know how long. And I really did like it. I especially love the mystery of it all and the suspense. And what I found interesting is that we never even find out the name of Max's new wife. She's just Mrs. De Winter because she's just so eclipsed by Rebecca and everything about her. We spend a huge amount of the book wondering what happened between Max and Rebecca and whether Rebecca really drowned, as the authorities reported. The tension and the darkness were spectacular, and that is very good because I didn't particularly like any of the characters, especially Mrs. Danvers, the housekeeper, who was very cruel to the new wife. I really hated reading about her. Her scenes just made me like super anxious. And I don't want to spoil it because even though the blurb says that it's a very moment of climactic revelations, I feel like when you get to the big reveal of what happened, it felt very anticlimactic to me. But overall, the whole story was very compelling as a mystery. There were so many dark overtones, so much mystery. And listening to the insecurities of the new wife and her inner monologue as she's trying to figure out what the heck is going on just made it ever more sinister. The language and imagery in this book is so dark and pretty, with so many references to the trees and the flowers and Manderley itself. And I just really enjoyed reading it. I highly recommend it. So if you have not read Rebecca like me, and it's been forever, definitely check it out. And that is Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier.
Okay, the first book I'm going to tell you about is called This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan. This is romance. It's 400 pages, and I gave this one 3.5 stars. In the second in the Skyland series, we're following Soledad, a domestic goddess who, though her marriage seems to have hit a rough patch, she's mostly happy. But then she learns about her husband's massive betrayal, and her life and the lives of her 3 daughters are turned completely upside down. And not just because of the new man who enters the picture, one who she can't help having feelings for while she learns to date herself. I read Kennedy Ryan's Before I Let Go early last year, and I gave it 5 huge stars. So I could not wait to read this next story, which is set in the same world. But sadly, this one just didn't give me the same feelings as the previous one. I think that the story itself was interesting, but I felt really bogged down several times while reading it. Again, this might be a it was me, not the book kind of thing, because we know how my February went, but still. At 400 pages, it isn't overly long, but it felt long, and I considered giving it up a few times throughout my reading. I did really want to know what would happen with Soledad and her daughters and Judah, who is the new man, but I felt like we could have easily cut out 50 pages and the story would have flowed much better. I very much appreciated Ryan's insistence that Soledad date herself and learn who she is without a man in her life and how she can build her life back up after her husband's betrayal. But after being reminded time and time and time again that she was dating herself, the self-love portions of the book began to feel like I was just getting hit over the head with them. It's an important message, definitely, for sure, but I didn't need to re be reminded of it at every turn. The steam in this one is really spicy, which I think is something that Ryan does incredibly well, and I absolutely love the dynamic between Judah and his twin sons, who are autistic, as well as Soledad's relationships with her daughters and the various degrees of anger that they held toward her for their father's mistakes. That all felt just really on point and so well done. So this definitely is not a bad book at all. It just felt really slow, and so I think that that took away my enjoyment of it. There is going to be another book in the series, and I will likely pick it up as it'll be focusing on my favorite character in the Skyland friendship group. So I'm just going to cross my fingers that it gives me the vibes of the first book rather than the second one. And this one is This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan.
All right, my next book is Leaving by Roxana Robinson. This is a contemporary romance. It's 328 pages, and I gave this one 3 angry stars. And so Sarah had read this book, I think last month, right? In January. Yeah. And so her review, where she was also angry, made me very curious, so I had to read it too. So very quickly, the story is about Sarah and Warren, who are college sweethearts. And their relationship ended due to some really crappy communication between the two, where some assumptions were made without even discussing it with each other. Fast forward decades later, Sarah is now divorced with adult children and a few grandbabies. Warren is still married, though, and he has an adult daughter. And Sarah and Warren run into each other at the opera, and sparks fly, and they begin an affair. They know it's wrong, and Warren is determined to tell his wife so that he can get divorced and be with Sarah. But things turn out to be way more complicated than that. So I feel like I'm going to reiterate what Sarah said. I didn't like these characters at all, like at all. But I was super invested in seeing what happened with Sarah and Warren and if they'd be able to rekindle their long lost love or not. But honestly, after a while, I just didn't care because the whole situation was really sad, and especially the ending just left me really, really depressed. And I normally love really sad stories, but they have to have some kind of beauty in the sadness, some tiny glimmer of hope somewhere. And there just wasn't any of that in the story at all. I felt awful for Sarah because I knew she really loved Warren and wanted to spend their golden years together. And I felt sorry for Warren for other reasons that I don't want to spoil from the story, but I will just say that his wife and his daughter were incredibly hateful people. But even feeling sorry for the characters wasn't enough to save the story for me. And especially in the advanced paperback copy that I read, there were so many typos and like weird things happening and people being called the wrong name. And it just really threw me off. So I hope they fix all of that in the final published book. But this one sadly was not for me. So this is Leaving by Roxana Robinson.
I feel so validated. That's all I gotta say. I
was like,
just
Sarah hates
remember.
it. I'm going to love it. And nope.
I know. That's what I thought for sure too. 'Cause I'm like, you like depressing books. Maybe this would be right up your alley. But oh man, yeah. I wish I would have had a paper copy so I could have thrown it across the room.
And I feel like when I got to the ending, I almost didn't comprehend what happened at first. You guys, I'm not going to spoil it for you guys, but if you read it, when you get to the ending, tell me if it was confusing for a second, because I had to reread, like, did what just happened really happen? Like, what? It was awful. I hated it.
I reread it too because I'm like, wait, that's not how we're ending, is it? That's no, that isn't. No, what? So I went back and read it and I was like, oh no, that's how. Okay, well, now I'm even more depressed. Great.
Now we're gonna go get drunk. Goodbye.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people out there who are like, okay, now I'm going to hate read this book. It's kind of like what you did.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take us up a little bit because my next book is called 5 Years From Now by Paige Toon. This is a romance novel. It's 368 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. Nell and Van meet at 5 years old when their parents fell in love. They became inseparable and assumed that they would grow up together. But then tragedy hits the family, and Van is set to live on the other side of the globe. From there, Nell and Van see each other once every 5 years, and they're no longer little kids. And suddenly, they're seeing one another in a whole new light, even though they live on opposite sides of the world. Similar to Toon's previous book, Only Love Can Hurt Like This, 5 years from now seems like it'll be your typical love story, but the author takes that idea and flips it on its head. There is a lot of heartbreak woven into the pages of this book, and seeing how Nell and Van navigate living so far apart felt so interesting to think about. Like, would I be able to keep up a relationship with somebody on the other side of the world? I really liked Van's character. I felt like I got to know the type of person that he was, but something about Nell's character grated on me a bit. Mostly, I think it was her indecisiveness that by the end, I just wanted Van to run far, far away from her. Though, of course, in a love story like this, you just want the characters to get a happily ever after, but I'm not sure if that's how I felt. I liked that the way that the author paced this book, where we meet the characters every 5 years, so at 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and so on. It also showed just how much can happen in that time frame. But you never felt like you were missing out on what happened in their lives because the author was able to carefully fill in the blanks for you without it feeling like a running list of this happened and then this happened. So I can't imagine that this is a book that's going to stick with me forever, but I'm still really glad that I spent the time with Nell and Van and got to know this type of love. So this one is 5 Years From Now by Paige Toon.
Right, book number three is In Bloom by Paul Tremblay. This was a short horror story. It was only 35 pages, and I give this one 3 stars. And so I normally love short horror stories because they have to pack a lot of creepiness and spookiness into a few amount of pages. But this one fell very flat for me. It's about journalist Heidi Cohen, who's in Cape Cod, investigating the sources of recurring toxic algae blooms along the coast. And a local man named Jimmy has his own theory for her about why they're occurring. Every year, the algae growth gets worse, but it's been going on longer than anyone knows. Decades ago, something happened to Jimmy that he's never forgotten, and he wants to know, is Heidi ready for the real story? So, like I said, I love a good creepy story, but this one just missed the mark, and I didn't feel invested at all, not even from the beginning. Jimmy's explanation about the algae blooms just felt incredibly silly and not scary at all, and I could see why no one in the town believed him. It almost reminded me kind of like the creature from the Black Lagoon or something like that. And that's basically what the whole story was about. So I was just bored the entire time. And I usually do like stories about nature versus man, like something like the trees or the swamp or the algae is like attacking people, but this one was very meh. So I say skip this one. And so this one was In Bloom by Paul Tremblay.
All right, my third book was called Elsewhere by Gabrielle Zevin. This is a YA novel. It's 304 pages, and I gave it 3.5 stars. Liz is just 15 when she wakes up in Elsewhere and realizes that she has died. Elsewhere, though, looks like Earth, but she quickly learns that it is very different because on Elsewhere, you start at the age that you died and you age backward until you're a baby, in which time you're sent back to Earth to be born again. Naturally, because she died so young, Liz has big feelings about this, that she'll never get to turn 16 or fall in love or get married. Plus, she really, really misses her family, and now she's forced to live with a grandmother that she never met back on Earth. This is a really clever novel, and I think it's something interesting to think about. Like, what if there is a place like elsewhere, and that's what happens when we die? Would that be a good thing? Would you want that for your life? It's those types of bigger questions that I really enjoyed thinking about while reading this book. But I'll be honest, I knew that this book was a YA novel, but it felt really YA. Liz was a very grating character, and I think I would have really loved the story had it been written from the perspective of a slightly older person, not necessarily somebody later in life, because I think that the questions posed about dying so young were good ones, but I wanted somebody who didn't feel quite so whiny. And I get it. I would be super whiny too if I died when I was 15. Hell, I would be whiny if I died right now at 40. But after a bit, I couldn't handle Liz's voice. And speaking of the voice, I did this read as a hybrid. And while I think that the audio narrator was perfect for the voice of Liz, for any other characters, she definitely didn't fit. And the accents were really kind of terrible, if I'm being honest. So while I think that this is a beautiful book, and I think it might actually be something interesting to hand to a teen if they've lost a friend, it just had quite a few quirks that I couldn't get over and kept it from being higher rated for me. So this one was Elsewhere by Gabrielle Zevin.
Right, my next book is called Survive the Night by Riley Sager. This is a mystery thriller. It was 324 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. It's about Charlie Jordan, who desperately needs a ride home from college, and she finds one from Josh Baxter on the college's rideshare board. In the car, they slowly get to know each other, and Charlie is dazzled by Josh's good looks and his killer charm. But in the back of her mind, she's worried about the campus killer who has killed 3 students in the span of 1 year and has not yet been caught. Charlie becomes convinced that Josh is that killer and has to find a way to survive the night without getting murdered. So I listened to this one on audiobook and it was phenomenal. And I don't know that I'd ever be brave enough to catch a ride from a strange man in probably any situation, but I kept putting myself in Charlie's shoes and hoping against hope that she'd be able to get away unscathed. This story, though, took so many twists and turns that I wasn't expecting, and I really admired Charlie as the main character because she was one tough cookie, super resilient, and quick thinking. This book could definitely be a movie because it had all the elements of great suspense on whether or not Josh is that killer. But the reason that I gave this one 4 stars instead of 5 is because it went a little bit off the rails toward the end with this whole storyline about a waitress at a diner. And I don't want to spoil it, but I could have done without all of that in the story. I feel like the mystery about Josh was enough, and it just felt unnecessarily convoluted. But overall, it was a great thriller. And this is the book that got me out of a slump I'd been in where I wasn't super interested in anything I was reading. So I highly recommend it. And this one is Survive the Night by Riley Singer.
Okay, next I want to tell you about The Great Transition by Nick Fuller Googins. This is climate fiction and it's 352 pages. I gave this one 3.5 stars. I'm going to read right from the blurb here because there is a lot going on in this book. Emmy, whose parents helped save the world, is tired of being told how lucky she is to have been born after the climate crisis. But following the public assassination of a dozen climate criminals, Emmy's mother, Christina, disappears as a possible suspect. A determined Emmy and her father, Larch, journey from their home in Nuuk, Greenland to New York City, now a lightly populated storm surge outpost built from the ruins of the former metropolis. But they aren't the only ones looking for Christina. 30 years earlier, Larch first came to New York with a team of volunteers to save the city from rising waters and torrential storms. Christina was on the front lines of a different battle, fighting massive wildfires that ravaged the western United States. They became part of a movement that changed the world, the Great Transition, forging a new society and finding each other in the process. In this novel, we alternate between the search for Christina, as well as going back in time to see the ways that Christina and Larch fought against the climate crisis. This is a near future novel told in the way that all cli-fi dystopian novels are, with a look at what is happening in our world today and imagine how we survive from here and how we have to adapt. I wanted to really love this one. I love a cli-fi novel and imagining, or maybe dreading is the right word, what our future is going to look like. This one, more than a lot of others, had me actually thinking, I wonder if this is how people will react. Like, will we just be able to rebuild? Will we figure out a way to survive in a world like this? And those are the parts that I really loved, the questions that made me think. But something about this book just felt a little boring to me. Like, maybe it was flashing back in time. I feel like I would just get a handle on where things were going, and then we would move to a different time period. And it was all a really good story, but I don't know if maybe the two stories felt like they were just too different. Like maybe they should have been two separate stories. It also felt really repetitive in certain parts. I felt like I was hit over the head with certain aspects, like the climate criminals and why they needed to be punished over and over again. It should also be noted that if this is something that's a pet peeve of yours, there are no quotation marks. And every time that happens in a book, my only question is like, why? Who approved this? Who decided one day that we do not need quotation marks anymore? I don't understand. So anyway, while I am glad I read this one, I also think that I have read better cli-fi novels, especially The Displacements by Bruce Holsinger, which I know that Mia also loved. I like that storyline quite a bit more, and it had similar elements to it, I think. So this one is The Great Transition by Nick Fuller Googins.
His last name makes me laugh because when I was little, like my first word was dada, but the only other thing that I would ever say until I learned how to speak was googs. And so my dad would always call me googs. So it made me laugh. Anyway, that was
Aw.
random. All right. So my last book, and I'm laughing because Sarah's going to laugh, is If We're Being Honest by Kat Shook. This is a family drama. It was 304 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. You'll have to wait till the overflow episode to hear what Sarah thought about it, but it made me laugh. Anyway, so this is about Jerry, who is the beloved Williams family patriarch. He dies suddenly, and his grandchildren flock from across the country to their family home in Georgia. But when Jerry's best friend steps up to the microphone to deliver his eulogy and a very shocking confession, the funeral turns out unlike anyone expected. The cousins are left reeling and confused, and they cope with their fresh grief in various private dramas. And the cousins' eccentric parents are equally lost in love and in life. And watching over them all is Ellen, Jerry's sweet and proper widow, who does her best to keep her composure in front of the leering small town. And so this book reminds you that while no one can break your heart like your family can, there's really no one better to put you back together. So I will not lie, I loved the very first line of this book. It was basically something about Jerry's funeral was a shit show or something like that. And it just grabbed my attention immediately. And the eulogy was definitely shocking. But then after that, I feel like my attention quickly wandered over the first 40 or maybe 50% of the book. It was so slow, very slow. There were a lot of characters, too many characters, I feel like, and trying to keep them straight, like which character belonged to which parent and who was the sibling, and it was a lot. But eventually, I did get it down, and I slowly became invested in their relationships, whether it was family ones or romantic ones. And I have to admit, this is not normally the type of book that I like. This family drama with a slow pace and storyline, it was just, eh. But honestly, I was glad that I stuck with it because towards the end, it became very heartwarming, and I loved reading the family dynamics in this small southern town. I feel like a death in the family is already so emotional, and then you add into that the interpersonal drama that's already present in a family, and it just makes everything come to a head, and this story portrayed that spectacularly. Like I said, I think Sarah's going to have a different opinion on this one and probably not give it 4 stars, so you'll have to stay tuned for that in our overflow episode. But this one was If We're Being Honest by Kat Shook.
All right, the last book I want to tell you about is called Lucy by the Sea by Elizabeth Strout. This one is literary fiction. It's 291 pages, and I gave it 4 stars. I need you guys all to please mark down this date because I have the first Pulitzer book that I actually enjoyed. I know Mia's doing like high fives right now. You guys can't see her, but yes, I finally enjoyed a Pulitzer book. I'm not saying I loved it, but I'm saying I enjoyed it. In Lucy by the Sea, we are following Lucy and her ex-husband William, two characters that I know were a part of other Strout books that I have never read. It is 2020, and the pandemic is just coming to New York when William ushers Lucy out of the city and into a home in Maine with him, though they've been divorced for years. And from here, we see Lucy fight the early stages of the pandemic, not understanding the seriousness, while also being terrified for the fate of her two daughters. This slice of life novel follows these characters throughout the first year and into the second of the pandemic. So I can absolutely see why this book won a Pulitzer. Not much happens, and from what I can tell, that seems to be a hallmark of winning that prize. But even so, there was something about this book that really hooked me. I don't know how I felt about Lucy as a character. At times, I found her incredibly naive and annoying. I think she's supposed to be in her 70s. And at other times, she also seemed really realistic and like a good portrayal of what those early days of COVID felt like. The writing itself felt very simplistic, and I'm really curious if her other books felt that way as well. It's almost if we're sitting down chatting with Lucy and she was telling us about what her life was like in those days without any of the polish that would go into a novel. At times, I think that the style annoyed me, especially as certain phrases were repeated, but overall, the story of Lucy, William, and the others and their lives captivated me. I don't think that you have to read the other novels to enjoy this one. I enjoyed it just fine without the other knowledge, but I do wonder if I would have gotten more out of it had I had the backstory of the other characters. But I'm going to admit, I can't imagine going back and reading them because while I did enjoy this book, I'm not sure that this type of writing style would be something that I would want to read through several books. If you do not like COVID books, you're definitely going to want to skip this one. But if, like me, you're fascinated about the ways that other people survived those early days, how they felt, what they thought, and what they did to keep living despite it all, you will enjoy this one. So this is Lucy by the Sea by Elizabeth Strout.
All right, that is our February recap. So before we sign off, what are the other books that you read in February that you're going to be reviewing on our Overflow episode on Friday?
I also read Expiration Dates by Rebecca Searle. A Heart That Works by Rob Delaney, Desire or Defense by Leah Brunner, and Ready or Not by Cara Bastone, which was a reread for me.
Right, and my other books are Nate Saint on a Wing and a Prayer by Janet and Jeff Benj, The Stars That Call Us Home by Trinity Dunn, Wonderland by Zoya Stage, and Smoke Gets in Your Eyes by Caitlin Dowdy.
All right, friends, that's it for February. As always, we would love to chat with you on Instagram at Reading Through Life Pod.
And until next time, we are wishing you 5-star book vibes. Bye.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the podcast. And now is the time we ask you for a super quick favor.
Will you take a screenshot now, like right now, of this episode and share it with a friend or on social media? We can't begin to explain how much your shares help us find other book nerds.
Plus, isn't life just better with more book friends in your life?
We're sending you virtual hugs and 5-star book vibes.
Talk to you soon.